Hello and welcome to Bixis Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bixis Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. Centerpiece of today's program will be Bix and the Blues. We have been discussing in the Bixography forum the question as to whether Bix played with a blues feeling in some of his records.
Some contributors to the forum believe that Bix did play with a blues feeling, others do not. I count myself among the latter ones. Well, regardless of what the different opinions are, it is useful to have a program, I thought, in which I play all of the recordings in which Bix plays at least structurally blues, and follow each of these recordings with a recording by King Oliver playing the blues, either again a structural blues or a blues in the sense of feeling. Before I start with the music, I want to read a paragraph from the New Grove Dictionary of Jazz. Under the word blues, this is what I read. There is no single definition of the term blues. It may indicate a state of mind, describe a music that expresses that state of mind, define a form or structure for performing the music, or identify a manner of performance. It is frequently applied to performances and song types that have a number, if not all, of these characteristics. An ability to play the blues has been a requisite of all jazz musicians who, on first meeting one another or when taking part in a jam session, we'll often use the blues framework for improvising. It is evident that the term blues has a number of interrelated meanings. In the 16th century, the Blue Devils referred to a fit of melancholy, an interpretation that persisted and came into popular usage in the mid-19th century. Although its use by black Americans to describe a state of mind has been recorded from the 1860s, it is not known to have been applied to a song form until the 20th century, when it emerged through the conflation of hollers and ballads. Hollers were freely extemporized songs performed by individual workers in the South as accompaniment to field labor, and they largely replaced group labor work songs after the decline of the plantation system. Now, in the paragraph entitled Blues and New Orleans Jazz, I read, "The early influence of blues on jazz has been widely assumed, but there is insufficient research to document it." I imagine many people will object to that, but I'll read some more, if I have time, later from the encyclopedia or the dictionary. I want to get started with the music now. First, the way I'm going to do this, I'm going to play two recordings. First one by Bix, or that includes Bix, and then one by King Oliver. The first Bix recording I want to play is Royal Garden Blues. That was recorded on June 20, 1924, with Bix Beiderbecke on cornet, Jimmy Hartwell on clarinet, Al Gandy on trombone, George Johnson on tenor sax, Dick Voino on piano, Bob Gillette on banjo, Min Lee Brook on brass bass, and Vic Moore on drums. However, let me emphasize that the liners for the excellent set of recordings or CDs entitled Bix Restored gives Vic Moore as gives Vic Burton as the drummer in this particular recording. It is very hard to say by simply listening, because the drums are hard to hear in these acoustic recordings, whether it is Vic Burton or Vic Moore. I believe the consensus in general, at least among the people who participate in the mixography forum, is that it is Vic Moore. I'm going to follow that with Canal Street Blues. This is from the first recording session by King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band, April 5th, 1923, with King Oliver and Louis Armstrong on cornet, Honoré Dufray on trombone, Johnny Dodds on clarinet, Lil Hardin on piano, Bill Johnson on banjo, and Baby Dodds on drums. So let's start then this program on Bix and the Blues by playing two recordings. The first one by Bix with the Wolverines in 1924, the second one by King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band in 1923. Thank you. opinion, the two recordings that I played have emotional content, and however, qualitatively, the emotions that are developed upon listening to these recordings are very different in the two cases. But of course, that is a matter of personal opinion. All right, let's continue with the music. For the recording by Bix, I'm going to the January 26, 1925 recording session of Bix and his Rhythm Jugglers. And the Jugglers are, in addition to Bix, Don Murray on clarinet, Tommy Dorsey on trombone, Paul Mertz on piano, and Tommy Gargano on drums. I will follow that with the Deeper Mouth Blues, recorded by King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band on April 6, 1923, and the composition of the band is the same as I gave before. King Oliver and Louis Armstrong on cornet, Honoré Dufray on trombone, Johnny Dodds on clarinet, Little Harding on piano, Bill Johnson on banjo, and Baby Dodds on drums. So let's listen then to Bix with the Rhythm Jugglers in 1925 and King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band in 1923. Thank you. read some more from the New Grove Dictionary of Jazz. Here it says, Oliver's reputation as a blues player rested on his subtle use of the mute, as in his solo in Deeper Mouth Blues, 1923, which rapidly became a standard. Other of Oliver's recordings highlight the blues playing of members of his band, for example, Camp Meeting Blues, on which Jimmy Noon's fluid downtown Creole approach may be heard. The harder, agile uptown style of Johnny Dodds is brilliantly displayed on many titles recorded by Louis Armstrong's Hot Five. His use of piercing blue notes is evident on Lonesome Blues, on which Armstrong sings a typically gritty vocal line, though his habit of filling in the response phrases illustrates a jazz rather than a blues technique. There is another section in this article about the blues in the Dictionary of Jazz. This one is entitled Blues and White Jazz, and let me read to you what it says about the white bands. It says, most white bands had no direct contact with blues, and instrumentalists tended either to copy blues performances or to eschew them altogether. The jazz of the Austin High School band and the Chicagoans was too agitated and nervous for the blues. Big Spiderbeck brought a more relaxed style of playing to white jazz, but his pure tone and dancing phrases lacked blues timber or expression. For the Bix recording, I want to play Goose Pimples. This was recorded on October 25th, 1927 by Bix and his gang. And the gang consists of Big Spiderbeck on cornet, Bill Rank on trombone, Don Berry on clarinet, Adrian Rollini on bass saxophone, Frank Signorelli on piano, and Chauncey Morehouse on drums. For the King Oliver side, I want to play Black Snake Blues, recorded on April 27, 1927, with King Oliver and Thomas Dick Gray on cornet, Kid Ory on trombone, Homer Simeon on clarinet, soprano sax or alto sax, Paul Barnes on clarinet or alto sax, Barney Bigard on clarinet or tenor sax, Louis Russell on piano, Junie Cobb on banjo, Lawson Buford on brass bass, and Paul Barberin on drums. So let's listen now to Bix with his gang, and to King Oliver and his Dixie syncopators, both in 1927. Thank you. I want to bring in now the second recording of Royal Garden Blues. Bix recorded that tune first in 1924 with the Wolverines, and then in 1927, October 5th, with his gang. And the gang, it consists of Bix on cornet, Bill Rank on trombone, Don Murray on clarinet, Adrian Rollini on bass saxophone, Frank Signorelli on piano, and Chauncey Morehouse on drums. I'm going to follow that with the Farewell Blues, recorded by King Oliver on November 18, 1927. The musicians here, according to Brian Rost's last edition of the jazz discography, are King Oliver on cornet, Jimmy Archie on trombone, Paul Barnes on soprano sax or alto sax, perhaps Barney Bigard on clarinet and tenor sax, Benny Waters on clarinet, tenor sax. There is a piano, there is a banjo, there is a brass bass, and then Paul Barberin is on drums. So let's listen then to Bix and his gang first, and then to King Oliver's Dixie Syncopators, both in 1927.
Thank you.
Now for the next recording of Bix, I'm turning to March 1st, 1928, and Paul Whiteman and his orchestra recorded the selections from Showboat. This is a huge band. It has Charles Margulis, Eddie Pinder on trumpet, Bix Beiderbecke on cornet, Boyce Cullen and Wilbur Hall on trombone, Chad Hazlitt, Izzy Friedman on clarinet, Rube Crozier on clarinet or flute, Frank Trombauer, Red Mayer, Charles Strickfandit on reeds, Kurt Dieterle, Michel Russell, Mario Perry, Matty Malnek on violin, Roy Bargi on piano, Mike Pingitori on banjo, Mike Trafficante on string bass, Minley Brook on brass bass, Hal McDonald on drums. There's a mixed chorus that has Olive Klein and D. Baker and V. Hall and R. Rogers sopranos, E. Baker, H. Clark, E. Indermauer altos, Lambert Murphy, Harrison James tenors, and Glenn Shaw, Croxton, Kinsley basses. There is one of the selections in this medley is Can't Help Loving That Man, and that's the one that Bix plays, at least formally, a blues. They also have in the medley Why Do I Love You, You Are Love, and Make Believe. For the King Oliver side, I'm turning also to 1928, and almost the same day. This is March 3rd, 1928. I'm sorry, this is wrong. Take that back. It's from June 11, 1928, with Clarence Williams on piano, King Oliver on cornet, Jimmy Archie on trombone, Ernest Elliott on clarinet or alto sax, Arville Harris on clarinet, alto sax or tenor sax, Leroy Harris on banjo, Cyrus St. Clair on brass bass. And the number that I'm going to play from this recording session is West End Blues. So let's listen then to Bix with Paul Whiteman and his orchestra, and then to King Oliver, both in 1928.
You're on. day. I want every day with you. You are spring, bud of romance unfurled. You taught me to see one truth forever true. You are love, wonder of all the world. Where you go with me, heaven will always be. So we'll make believe I love you, and we'll make believe that you love me.
Feelings that I detect in the two types of recordings that I played are very different. At least that's what I sense. For the recordings by Joe Oliver, I detect sort of a, as I said in the Bixography forum, a resigned sadness, a sense of weariness. On the other hand, the melancholy associated with Bix's music is more of a pensive sadness type. Okay, well, let's continue with the music now for the last recording of Bix's sort of playing the blues. I'm turning to a session of Irving Mills and his Hotsy Totsy Gang from June 6, 1930. And the tune is Deep Harlem. The personnel in the recording is Big Spiderback on cornet, Ray Ludwig on trumpet, Jack Teagarden on trombone, Benny Goodman on clarinet or alto sax, an unknown tenor, perhaps Larry Binion or Arnold Brillhart, Joe Venuti and Manny Malnack on violin, Lou Green on guitars, Frank Signorelli on piano, Min Liebrook on bass saxophone, and Gene Krupa on drums. For the King Oliver number, I'm going to turn to a recording from September 10, 1928, Speakeasy Blues, with the King Oliver on cornet, Ed Anderson on cornet also, J.C. Higginbottom on trombone, Omer Simeon on clarinet or alto sax, Barney Bigard on clarinet or tenor sax, Rhys Russell on piano, Will Johnson on banjo, Bass Moore on brass bass, Paul Barberin on drums, and perhaps the arranger here is Benny Waters. So let's listen then to first Bix with Irving Mills in 1930 and then King Oliver in 1928. Well, we have come to the end of today's program on Bix and the Blues. I think it was a useful set of recordings and comparisons, and I'll let you, each one of you, think a little bit about the question of whether Bix did or did not play the blues. You decide on your own. And I may have another program of this type later on. Well, let's get back to Bix now. To the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 2 weeks on WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for another edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.